Thanks, Gail. Can you hear me? Good.
Yes.
All right, super. Thank you. My name is Allison. I'm a very grateful compulsive overeater. I'm a food addict and a relapse survivor from Franklin Lakes, New Jersey. So welcome everybody to the event this evening. It's nice to see so many numbers. Really delighted you all came. Thank you for being here for us and for you. I'll tell you a little bit of background and then we're going to talk about abstinence. I'm actually going to talk about entire abstinence tonight and why it's been so important for me in this period of time. So, my most recent abstinence is from March 2022. I have been abstinent for a little over 3.5 years, and I've been maintaining a weight loss of around 65 pounds for like the past 2.5 years, a day at a time and with God's grace. Just to give you sort of a sense of my abstinence history, I had a 4-year abstinence many years ago, then a 15-year relapse out of the rooms, and now a 3.5-year relapse on the other side of that. So I've been in altogether, I've been in program for about 24 years, and out of those 24 years, I've only been abstinent for 7, which tells you the state of the disease, how powerful that is. I'm 64 years old and I've been abstinent for 7 years of my life, which tells you I've been binging and overeating and fighting the food for over 56 years. I will tell you that this disease has stolen everything from me. It stole my youth, it stole my family, it stole my career. I don't even know what my career was supposed to be. I never had it. I couldn't even keep a job while I was overeating. I couldn't keep friends. I couldn't keep a boyfriend when I was dating, and I barely hung on to my husband while I was binging. I had brain fog. I had a miserable addiction. I was permanently restless, irritable, and discontent. The disease literally stole everything, and I could not put a life together, a good life, or even a decent day together because of this disease. The crazy thing is that I had these 4 years of abstinence, and it's the first time that I found hope and a solution. And I was 40 and I had everything to be abstinent for. But even after those 4 years, even after experiencing that peace, the joy, the freedom, that sort of exquisite serenity of a first pink cloud abstinence, even after all of that, I still fell into a brutal 15-year relapse. And the whole time I was in relapse, I was out of the rooms. And, I knew where the solution was. I'd been there. I knew what I had to do. I knew who I had to call. My darling sponsor was just waiting for that phone call. My friends and fellows were waiting for me to come back. My sponsor would have just brought me right back in. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't make the call. I couldn't help myself. It was like I was kidnapped. I was trapped. I was like a prisoner, a slave to my disease. I couldn't think straight and I couldn't get myself out. I don't know what brought me back in. By the grace of God, I found a moment of willingness over a weekend and reached out to my sponsor 3.5 years ago. And she goes, "Are you ready?" I said, "I'm ready. Let's do it." And we did it. We emptied my house of all of the binge foods. And I found, my way back to the food plan. I weigh and measure off the Grace Sheet food plan, and we were rolling. And that was 3.5 years ago, day at a time. In this new abstinence, I can look back and I can understand what went wrong in my first abstinence. I mean, in retrospect, I realize, I mean, my program was missing some very important ingredients. I guess the biggest one is I hadn't admitted complete defeat. I hadn't conceded to my innermost self that I was a compulsive overeater. I still held out hope that I wasn't all that bad and that I wouldn't always need OA and that I certainly wouldn't have to weigh and measure for the rest of my life. It felt like deprivation. I felt like a victim those days with the food plan. I was a different person. And because I hadn't admitted complete defeat, right, I was never able to fully surrender to a higher power and work the spiritual program the way it's designed. And I was sort of, I mean, bluffing is a big word, but I guess I was bluffing my way through, hoping it would stick, hoping it would, take shape. But I never had a psychic change, and I never felt the spiritual experience. My physical abstinence was what I had, and the 12 step. I did a lot of service. So I was working that first half of step one and step 12. My physical abstinence, it was clean, it was weighed and measured, but it was not enough to help me recover. And looking back now, I see that relapse was inevitable. So this time around, this abstinence, I carefully turned my whole program upside down. I try to keep it fresh. I sort of tackle it from different angles. I'm deeply into the big book. I'm a big student of the text. I think and read about that every single day. And I make lists of my alcoholic foods, which was something I hadn't done before. And I think about alcoholic foods. I think about binge foods and what it means to live with them and what it means to live without them, right? And what other things I abstain from. I go to all sorts of meetings all over the world. I go to new meetings, fresh meetings. I follow new people I haven't met or may never meet. I listen really closely to fellows who have something I'm looking for. Right, a little ahead of me on the path, and some peace with the food, and some serenity, and some, that some of that magical alchemy that we find in others, and a meaningful recovery life, of course. The biggest difference, I guess, in the second abstinence, I would have to say, is this: that with the help of the Big Book text, I have come to understand my disease, and I would like to talk a little bit about the disease tonight. Because I've been able finally to concede to my innermost self that I am a real compulsive overeater and a critical level food addict. And sort of it's like finally I've been able to admit defeat. And I clearly know who I am, what my problem is, and what I have to do today to live in recovery. And that's everything. So who am I? I'm a real food addict. I'm a chronic overeater. Bill Wilson uses the term real alcoholics in the Big Book. I kind of like it. I'm a real food addict. It means I have a very big problem. I have a monumental, insurmountable problem with food. I'm not a foodie. I used to call myself a foodie. Yeah, it was cute. Oh, I'm such a foodie. I'm not a foodie. That was a name I gave myself to sort of ease, soften the truth and ease the shame, right? I'm not a weekend binger. I'm not an occasional binger. I'm not a yo-yo dieter. I can't start a diet to save my life. I can't even get hours on a diet, so there's no yo-yoing. I'm a no-no dieter. I cannot stop eating just because I want to. I have lost the power of that control. There's no pause in my binging. There's no day off. I don't binge on the weekend and staying on Monday morning. There's no Monday morning for me. All those Monday mornings are long gone. I can't stop eating. There's no pause ever. I'm either entirely abstinent or I'm binging my head off. And those are the only two states of experiencing food for me. What I have is a problem of epic proportion. It's no joke. I have a food addiction that is belligerent, abusive, tormenting, and it doesn't seem to care if I die. And I can't fix it. So I take the message in the Big Book very seriously in this abstinence. I have to. I'm critical level. And the Big Book tells me what makes me critical level. And we're going to talk about that. What makes me critical level? I have a physical allergy and a mental obsession. The physical allergy I have learned manifests as this insane craving. They call it the phenomenon of craving. Phenomenon means we can't explain it. Can't explain it and can't cure it. And according to the Big Book, the only cure for the physical allergy is entire abstinence. And they use that language. And we're going to see that. Entire abstinence and a spiritual experience. That's it. I'm like, okay, I'm doing it. So tonight I'm going to talk about the physical allergy, the phenomenon of craving a little bit, and how I define my entire abstinence. And we're going to start in the Big Book. I'm going to screen share the pages that I want to show you. If you've got your big book and you want to take notes like I like to, go right ahead, grab them now. I'm going to use my other computer to screen share and we'll start. We're going to dive right in. So we're going to be looking at the doctor's opinion, page XXX, which is also, yeah, sorry. Okay, XXX. Let me screen share here. And you should see that. Everybody see that? Okay. So what are we looking at? We're looking at the page where the words entire abstinence are found. They only appear once in the big book, and there isn't a lot of conversation because it isn't a cure, it's just a relief. So I want you to have a look at the bottom of page XXX in the doctor's opinion. And this little yellow box is where I want your attention here. This is what I love to look at, and this is where I get all of my little information and inspiration from. So I'm going to read it aloud. It says all these and many others. He's talking about the different types of alcoholics. This is Dr. Silkworth, of course. And he says all these have one symptom in common. So all alcoholics have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenon of craving. Right? You see where I am? I'm right over here. I'm going to use my arrow. So let's put that into compulsive overeater terms. So all types of compulsive overeaters have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking. I'm sorry, they cannot start eating their binge foods without developing the phenomenon of craving. I'm going to continue to read. This phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be the manifestation of an allergy which differentiates these people and sets them apart as a distinct entity. That means a normal eater isn't like this. A normal eater does not develop this phenomenon of craving. And the craving means I cannot stop when I've started. And I will always want more. It's a craving for more. The next sentence, underlined in red, is important. It says, it has never been, by any treatment with which we are familiar, remember he's a doctor, it has never been permanently eradicated. It is the phenomenon of craving. It has never been, by any treatment with which we are familiar, permanently eradicated. There's no cure for the phenomenon of craving. Now, the great line. The only relief we have to suggest, relief, by the way, not cure, the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. So the solution for the phenomenon of craving is a spiritual experience, which is the result of doing 12 steps. I can't start this 12-step program unless I'm right here in entire abstinence. We all know abstinence is the ticket in the door. So if I'm going to live a day at a time in recovery, thanks to a spiritual experience, it starts with entire abstinence. Okay, I'm going to pause the screen share for just a second and move, I think, to the next one. So, okay, the big book teaches us that entire abstinence is required for a compulsive overeater like me because I need to recover with the 12 steps. There's no other way. So before I embark on the 12-step program of recovery, I need to be entirely abstinent. I need to be, Herb Kay calls it, abstinent-minded. Right? I need to know how I define my abstinence. I need to know why I define it the way I define it. I need to be deeply, deeply connected and rooted in my abstinence. It's a requirement for me. It's not a requirement for everyone or for every compulsive overeater. Not everyone in this room tonight needs to do this. It's a requirement for me because I know who I am as a compulsive overeater. There is no choice left for me. And I'm here for the psychic change. I'm here for the spiritual experience. I'm here for that. So before I can begin to work on the steps in earnest, I need to be entirely abstinent. So there's probably some people in the audience tonight who are wondering, like, why we want to bother with a spiritual experience. What's all the fuss about it, right? It feels really good to just sort of be over here in the 1, 2, 3 steps. And I used to ask myself that. same question, like why do I have to go all the way to a spiritual experience? I'm going to let Bill Wilson answer that question tonight. Let me get back to my screen share. No, that's not my screen share. Let me close that. Let me open my slides. There we go. So let's get to Bill Wilson's words. Page 44 in the big book, the first page of We Agnostics. Looks like this. Okay, so obviously Bill Wilson's words. The top paragraph is what we're looking at. And Bill Wilson writes, if when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take. I'm going to pause right there. I'm going to put this into compulsive overeating terms, which is much easier for me. It's how I do it. And I'm also going to put it in the first person, which is how I read the big book. So, Allison, if I honestly want to, when I honestly want to, do I find that I cannot quit entirely? That is very true for me. I cannot quit eating. I cannot stop when I start. If I eat a piece, I'm going to eat five. If I eat one thing, I'm going to eat 20. If I eat a pound of something, it's going to be 5 pounds. And then the next sentence, and when eating my binge foods, do I have little control over the amount I will take? Absolutely. I can never control the amount that I'm going to eat, and I never know in advance what I'm going to do. And I cannot quit entirely when I want to. I cannot even quit when I need to, or when it's appropriate to stop eating, or when it's embarrassing to continue eating. I'm the one at Thanksgiving that eats at the table and then eats in the kitchen from the plates that I've cleared. Or I'll keep a dessert for myself and I'll go and eat a dessert in front of everyone, and then I will continue to eat dessert elsewhere in front of people. So I can't even stop eating when I should, when it's inappropriate and embarrassing. Under no circumstances can I ever bring myself to quit. So this is me. Now I'm going to continue eating. Bill Wilson says, oh, really? Then you are probably, he says, alcoholic. I'm going to say a compulsive overeater and food addict. I am probably a compulsive overeater and food addict. And now read this next beautiful line. Bill Wilson says, well, if that's the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. You're getting my picture, right? This is why I have to go. I have to go all the way through the beautiful steps. I have to work all the way through. I have to work as hard as I possibly can. I have to go to any lengths to work this program, hoping that I can change what I can change, shift my thinking, see the world differently, experience it differently, walk arm in arm with God, the God of my understanding. I have a spiritual experience that's so rich and so meaningful that I can live at peace with abstaining from my binge foods. Okay, I'm going to stop sharing this beautiful page. I'm going to keep going over here. So, what does it look like when I can't eat, quit eating entirely? It means I take one piece of Halloween candy and then go back for a handful, right? If I take one cookie, I'm going to eat six. I will always go back. I will always be driven back into the food. And why is that? It's because Bill Wilson and the Big Book tells me, because I have the allergy of the body and I immediately develop this intense craving for more. The very second I start eating my binge foods and they go into my system, I present with an allergy. The allergy is this phenomenon of craving, and a normal eater doesn't get it. They don't have it, doesn't exist in a normal eater. It exists in compulsive overeaters. And only a spiritual experience will conquer this affliction, this hopeless case of mind and body. Okay, I'm going to screen share again because Dr. Silkworth is going to talk about the spiritual psychic change. Hang on. we go. Next one. There we go. So I'm going to move to XXIX in the doctor's opinion. Did I do that right? No, I didn't do that right. Where is my phenomenon of craving? Hang on. XXIX. It in order? Out of order? XXIX. Here we go. Okay. Minus. Okay, sorry. I am going to enlarge the part that I want to talk about, which is up here. Okay, I didn't highlight this one, but I'm going to take you through it. In fact, I'm going to bring this from down there up here. We're going to be talking about the phenomenon of craving right here and what Dr. Silkworth says about it. So he's talking about succumbing to the desire, the craving, right? He says, after they have succumbed to the desire, as so many do, and the phenomenon of craving develops, as it always does, they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful, with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is so familiar. We know these words, but it's so familiar to our personal experience. Certainly it is for me. This is repeated over and over. This is how I live, by the way. And unless this person can experience, here it is, an entire psychic change, there is very little hope of his recovery. So now we know. The doctor says I need a psychic change, and Bill Wilson wrote a whole book about it. So I have no choice. If I'm going to live a day in recovery, having the disease that I have that's described in the doctor's opinion, I have no choice but to work the 12 steps. And if I'm going to work the 12 steps, I must be entirely abstinent. And this is the plea that I'm making to myself and to the group tonight, to understand how daunting and devastating this disease is. And it requires something big in exchange, a big abstinence, a robust abstinence, and then a robust journey through the steps. That's what I'm working on myself. Okay, I'm going to, am I going to stop? I'm going to stop sharing here and I'm going to go back over here in my little notes. So we're beginning to see a picture that entire abstinence is a requirement for the 12-step journey. And I want to dig in a little bit now into the discussion in the doctor's opinion of the phenomenon of craving and the physical allergy and the mental obsession. So let's go back to my screen share. And I'm going to go to XXVI is the page. I'm going to do what you're going to do, which is find it, XXVI. And it's right here. Okay, perfect. I hope you can all see that. Yeah, okay. So in this page, this is these words that are highlighted are the very few words that Bill Wilson writes in this chapter. So this is Bill Wilson commenting on what the doctor has written. So the first box that I've got highlighted here in yellow starts in this way. It says, in this statement, he, meaning the doctor, confirms what we who have suffered alcoholic torture, and that's, I didn't circle that word, but let's think about that word. I mean, torture, it is torturous. We who have suffered alcoholic torture must believe. The doctor confirms what we must believe. Here it is, that the body of the alcoholic is quite as abnormal as his mind. So this is a disease in the body and in the mind. So basically, I've heard many people say in other meetings, I have a mind that is killing my body and a body that is killing my mind. A little bit lower in two paragraphs down, Bill Wilson refers to the allergy for the first time. And he says, the doctor's theory that we have an allergy to alcohol interests us. So here the conversation begins in the big book. We're talking about the body, the mind, the allergy, and the craving. Okay, let's see if I'm gonna keep going in here. Yes. So let's move to then let's move 2 pages forward, I think. XXVIII. So it ends in VIII. Okay. Yeah, 2 pages. There we go. Okay, so this is still in the doctor's opinion. And now these are the doctor's words. This is the second longer letter in this chapter. And I'm just going to roll up. There we go. So let's read this. So there's two parts to this paragraph that I want to separate and identify. So we're going to read the first one first. So we believe, and so suggested a few years ago, that the action means effect or the result of alcohol on these chronic alcoholics, I'm a chronic food addict, is a manifestation of an allergy. Okay. That the phenomenon of craving is limited to this class and never occurs in the average temperate drinker. Okay. And then these allergic types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all. These allergic types, that's me, can never safely use my binge foods in any form at all. So one of the things I've done in this abstinence is I've created an alcoholic food list of categories and ingredients of foods that get me into trouble. Foods that other people might be able to eat very safely, but I cannot. Anything I've ever binged on is on that list. Anything that I keep craving or anything I go to for ease and comfort is on that list. And it has foods that could very well fit into my abstinent food plan, but I mess with them. I use them. I eat them for the effect they're going to give me. That can't be on my food plan. I need to know that I can never safely use these foods in any form again. And I need to commit to this. This is part of my abstinence, is knowing who I am and what I need to do. So, let's move. Let me just see what's coming up here. Yeah, because when I put one of these ingredients into my system, it immediately triggers the physical allergy. The phenomenon of craving begins, and I can't stop eating once I've begun. This is my problem. The minute it goes in my system, that's it. And I am powerless over the physical allergy, powerless to stop it, powerless to stop it once it started. The craving begins, and off I go. I'm grabbing handfuls of food. Okay. We're going to move a little quicker and go into XXIX. I'm going to just scroll down here. We're going to see again now at the bottom of this page. I'm going to bring my little thing down. And this is a two-pager. So again, the discussion of the phenomenon of craving. It says they took a drink a day or so prior to the date. So this is someone who's going to miss an appointment. Then the phenomenon of craving after the drink, the phenomenon of craving at once became paramount to all other interests. That's it. Paramount to all other interests. There's nothing that exists if the craving is triggered. All I'm thinking about is getting the food. My brain locks onto a food in a way it's unbelievable. It's just an incredible experience. I see flashes of the food. I get reminded of the taste, how it's going to look and feel and smell and be in my hand and how it's going to taste. I'm reminded of how much I loved it the last time. And my brain holds this and urges me, go get it, go get it. You'll be fine. You're okay. Convinces me I can eat safely. I've never had any, it's nothing has ever been as important in my head as getting this food, which is why today, with the food down and my abstinence up, God has a chance. Right, to get in the same way. I have a chance to get quiet and silent and have God come in that same amazing, amazingly meaningful way. Only if I have entire abstinence, if there's nothing in my body between me and God. So I'm going to let this roll over the second page and we keep going. So the phenomenon of craving at once became paramount to all other interests, so that the important appointment was not met. No kidding. How about the important life was not lived? These men were not drinking. Here we go. Listen to this. These men were not drinking to escape. They were drinking to overcome a craving beyond their mental control. That's how I eat. I don't eat because, I want it. I eat because I have a craving beyond my mental control. We've done the bottom of that other, we've done the bottom of that page. Let me go to the next page. The next page we're going to go to is XXX. I think it's page six if you've numbered them 1 to 8 like I have. Let's see. XXX. Oh, please be here. Please be here. It's not here. Hang on, let me go. Oh, this. There it is. Okay, good. Okay. So, oh, it was just the, it was the same page. Dwayne. Sorry. Yes, the bottom of page XXX. Forgive me. Sunday night. So the yellow box, everything's underlined, but I just want to bring, I want to highlight it, so I'll read it out. So all these and many others have one symptom in common. We've read this before. They cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenon of craving. And this separates them from average drinkers, right? And here we are again. I just want to leave this with you. This is our last slide. The last line in the yellow box here. The only relief to the phenomenon of craving we have to suggest is entire abstinence. So that's where it is, gang. This is the work I do. I love to live in these pages. I think about this all the time. And I was delighted to be able to share it with you on the day of experiencing International Day of Experiencing Abstinence. I'm going to pivot and just share before I end what I actually do and what my entire abstinence looks like. So I have to put everything on a scale. I have to put all my food on a scale. There's no gray area there. I'm going to stop sharing my screen so you can see everybody. So I put all my food on a scale, period. I follow the gray sheet of food plan, which gives me 4 meals a day spread out pretty evenly across the day, separated by about 3.5 to 4 hours, with absolutely nothing in between. I abstain from the obvious categories, flour and sugar and wheat. Also, I abstain from fried food, sweeteners, soda, alcohol, of course, all drugs. I write down my food. That's an important part of my whole food experience and my whole abstinent day, writing and connecting with my intention and my commitment for the day. I also write a gratitude list at the same time and many, many morning prayers of surrender and acceptance. I commit all my food for the day to my sponsor before I start eating. I prefer to call in the morning. It feels so much cleaner to have committed it in advance before the day gets going. I agree to not make any food changes without calling them in to my sponsor. I agree to abstain from compulsive eating and impulsive food changes because I believe impulsive eating leads to compulsive eating. So I don't make food choices in the moment. I always use prayer throughout the day to get through the rough spots. I use prayer to make decisions. I don't make decisions on my own. I abstain from that. I use God a lot during the day for guidance and love. My entire abstinence also includes using all the 8 tools of OA every day. I use them to support my food plan and to support my commitment. And working the tools gets me out of myself, right? It helps me remember I'm not alone. There's a beautiful fellowship of friendly other compulsive overeaters working the same food plan and working the same program as I am. So I work all the 8 tools, go to meetings, use the phone, practice anonymity, plan of action. That's a big one. Obviously the food plan and being of service and showing up and doing as much as I possibly can to carry the message, the beautiful message that I have been given and have found. Sponsorship. And I am a sponsor and I of course have a sponsor. And every single day without fail, without fail, I read from the big book and I do a writing on how I identify with what I've read every day, no matter what. And then, of course, as I mentioned, I have also created an alcoholic food list of categories and ingredients that trigger the physical allergy in me. And these are foods that I overeat and binge on, and so can never safely eat again. Foods that, of course, other people probably can eat safely, but I can't tolerate them in any manner. And I don't compare myself anymore. I mean, I have to save my life. At this point, it's pretty simple what I'm here to do. But foods like nuts and raisins and dried fruits and seeds and peanut butter and nut butters and a lot of the dairy products I choose not to and I abstain from and all the sugar-free stuff and potato chips, candy, ketchup, butter, all that stuff.
Allison,
The list goes on.
that's
It's
gentle
an endless
reminder.
list. Sorry?
That's gentle reminder.
Thank you. I'm coming, my last slide. The disease consumed my early life, there's no question, and stole a lot from me that I can't get back. But by the grace of God, I made it back in one more shot. God gave me one more shot. And I mean to stay. I pray every day to stay. I do my very best that I can to keep the road clear between me and God. I was blessed with the willingness to get early, entirely abstinent. And then, amazing for me, for this compulsive overeater. Working my abstinence this way allows me to live my life in the 12 steps. And I get to live a full life in between my meals, right? I get to repair the relationships that got mangled in relapse. I get to show up for my family. And for OA, I get to do service for my fellows. I try to give as much as I can. And of course, the very biggest blessing of all is a deeply meaningful relationship with the God of my understanding. I walk today in the sunlight of that spirit, arm in arm with God, with Bill Wilson, with a big book, and with all of you. Thank you for letting me share on abstinence.
Thank you, Allison. Ooh, okay. We will now have 15 minutes for sharing. There's a 2-minute limit on sharing, and I